I don't get to sit either. One of these, maybe both of those. Is that good? Problem is I can't read my notes then. Oh boy. All right, everybody can see? And what are your names? I'm sorry, I'm Brian. Mitch and
Angel.
And Angel and sorry, Destiny. That's right. Mitch and Angel. Okay. Well, the last time most of you were here, we talked about what it was like to be a young person, a child, a kid in Jesus' day. And what do you remember about that? What was it like to be a young person then?
Hard work.
Yeah. What else about it? That's the part you're going to remember, right? What?
And the girls were treated differently than the boys were.
I'm sorry.
The girls were treated differently than the boys were.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember that in my. But yes, they were very different back then. Were most people rich or poor? Yeah, poor. Had to work hard. Had to work in the family business, whatever. If your family had a certain trade, that's what you grew up doing. And the women, they went to be wives for somebody else. Yes?
Whatever your dad worked at, what you have to work.
That's pretty much true, yes. Whatever your dad did, that's what, if you were a boy growing up, you're probably going to have the same job. Yes. Okay, so that's a lot about what it was like to be a young person, to be a kid. But today we're going to talk about what it was like to be born, at least what it was like when Jesus was born. Because remember what Leah said? Leah said they had one of the things that the girls had to learn was how to get the baby out. So that was something important. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, very little bit. But talk about all the circumstances that surrounded that. Anybody know what that is right there? We'll talk about it later. But what do you think that is? It looked like a little tub. Maybe it holds water. What do you think? A what? Oh, the manger. Okay. Yeah, it's a good idea. That's exactly what it is. What were you going to say? But it's not what, it wasn't what they normally put babies in, but we'll talk about that. That is, well, we'll talk about it. I don't, but you got the idea. Let's talk about Jesus' birth. There's a lot we could talk about. I put this together and I just really, I can only cover little parts of it. So we're going to take a small little area. There's other things we could talk about, things that happened before that the Bible tells us, things that happened afterwards. Maybe we'll talk about that some other time. But we'll talk about Jesus and what it was like right around the time when he was born. But first we have to answer a question. Can any of the young people here tell me, why did Jesus have to be born? Any idea? Why did he have to be born? To help people follow God. That's a good reason. There are other reasons. Yes, Leah?
Maybe to learn how
to be very nice. To be very nice. That's true. Yes.
To save other people.
And how was he going to do that? Go ahead. Those are all right answers. But there's something else he had to do. He had to die. And you can't die unless you're born. That's kind of the way it works, right? So he had to be born in order to die. That's one reason. Here's what the angel came and talked to Mary. This is in Luke, the first chapter. And he said, it was in the sixth month that the angel Gabriel sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And he was of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So that's the story that we get here, that Gabriel was one of God's chief main angels that are right there with God, and he sent Gabriel to give a message to Mary. And we need to talk about a few things here to get the background of this. First of all, Galilee. Now, I'll show you a map a little later. I don't think I got it now, but Galilee was up in the north. It wasn't around Jerusalem. And Why were there Jews in Galilee? Any of the adults want to have you done any reading on that, or have any idea why was there a Jewish community up in the Galilee? Why weren't they down in Jerusalem? Or what are some of the theories? So we don't know if they're right. We don't know for sure. There are theories that they wanted to get away from some of the more direct and controlling rule of Herod, get away from the temple aristocracy and the perceived corruption of that. Those are some ideas. Also, just the idea of settling, just like now, where the Jews are settling land on the West Bank, that they were moving out away from Judea. So anyway, Mary lived in Nazareth, which is a village up there close to Sephora. If you remember the sermon that Christopher and Jenny's dad gave about Sephora up that way. And he was this lady, Mary, was engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, we're going to need to talk about that just a minute. Because do you know anybody, you ever known anybody who's been engaged? Yeah, you know people have been engaged. What does that mean?
Basically married.
Basically married. Well, not always, but maybe could be. You're going to get married, right? If you're engaged in our society, can you decide, I don't like him anymore, I'm going to break it off, I'm not going to marry him? You could do that? Anybody ever know somebody do that? Or the guy says, I'm not going to marry her? It's okay. It's okay in our society to do that. But you know what? In this society, it wasn't okay to do that. When you agreed that you were going to get married, that was just like being married, except you didn't live together yet. Usually about how long? How long did the engagements last? About a year. And then you got together. But if you wanted to break off an engagement, you already had a deal. The father of the groom, or the family of the groom, would give the father of the bride a bride price, give him some money, because they're going to lose their daughter. So you give them some money, or you give them some cows, you give them something. And we were just at a wedding last week, and the man whose daughter got married said that when he was in Africa, that one of the people there, he was down there for the feast, and one of the people offered him, 12? 12 cows for his daughter. Bride price. And he made a joke about it, and he gave these 12 little toy cows to the father of the groom. Told him to take care of them. But that's the way it was. You had to give something for the bride. For the bride price. Well, once you made that deal and you gave them the cows or the goats or the money or whatever you were going to give them, it was a deal. And you couldn't get out of it. But if you couldn't get out of it easily. But if you wanted to get out of it, you know what you had to do? Anybody? What'd you have to do? You had to get a divorce. You had to go through the legal proceedings. Because, and I was just reading this, I hadn't read it before. Once you were engaged, and once you accepted the bride price, and all this deal was worked out, you, as a bride, as the bride-to-be, you had the legal status of a wife. And it was a good thing, actually. It protected you. And so that legally, it was already, in many ways, it was just like a marriage, just like a married situation. It also protected the families, you know, against some kind of fraud and so forth. Let's see if I can read my notes here, if anything else I want to talk about on this slide. It says here on the sixth month of what? It's the sixth, right before this is talking about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a relative of Mary's. Elizabeth was pregnant. She was going to have a baby. She was 6 months pregnant. Elizabeth was older, very old. When she was pregnant for 6 months, that's when Mary got pregnant. Okay, so that's what the 6 month is having, this has to do with here. Now, don't do that, Andrew. We can't see. One other thing I want to talk about now. Do you know any? How old are you, Katie? 11, almost 12. Okay. Do you know that back then, hopefully not now, we don't think now, but back then, your parents and the other parents in the village would be talking to each other about who your husband's going to be. Yeah, your eyes got real big there. Mine would too. That's the way it was back then. They picked your wife, your husband, very early. And your husband probably wasn't somebody else in the village who was 12. It might have been somebody who was already 20. And by the time you get to be married, he might be 25 or 30. You're only, you know, whatever. And you would get married, engaged, when you're a teenager, usually. So Mary was probably a teenager. It doesn't say anywhere, but that's normally the way it was. And Joseph, her husband, was probably somewhat older. That's the way it usually was. So that's the story. Just get a little bit of a background. Mary was a very young lady, a girl, really. Not much older than some of you. That's most likely. All right. Last time we talked about names, remember that? The names have a meaning. Names have a meaning. Mary, the big one there, means bitter. You know, different names have meanings. And what we have here in Luke is it says, the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This is what Gabriel says to her. And it says, "And you will conceive in your womb and bear a son and name him Jesus." So they didn't get to pick the name. A lot of times it was do you know who got to pick the names in the Bible? Who?
Dad.
Usually it was the mom. Not always. Usually it was the mom. At least that's what we read. And Jacob's wives, they picked the... But sometimes they didn't believe, like when John the Baptist was born and his mother said his name was going to be John. And they said, "Well, you don't have anybody in your family named John. What are you naming John for?" And so they had to ask the dad. But the dad he couldn't talk for a while, so he had to write it on a tablet. He wrote, "Boy's name is John." But the mother usually is the one who picked it. But anyway, Mary didn't get to pick Jesus' name because God picked Jesus' name. Now, what was that name? What did people call? I told you this. Do you remember this from before? What did people call Jesus? If you lived there, Jesus is in Greek, okay? Or we say it in English too. But if you were there, what would you say when you called Jesus? Say, "Hey, Jesus, come on over to my house, play." What would you call him? You remember? Yes? No, not John. Not John. Remember? It's something. Oh, you don't know for sure. It was something like Yeshua. It was the same name as the hero in the Old Testament. Who's the hero in the Old Testament that led Israel through the Promised Land? Joshua. It was the same name. Joshua. Okay, so his name in the Aramaic was something like Yeshua. It was the same way that they said the word Joshua. So we say Jesus, but really it was Joshua. That was his name. What did that name mean? We talked about that. What does Jesus' name mean? What does Yeshua mean? If we go back, whoops. Oh, I didn't put it there, sorry. It means Yahweh or God saves. Okay? The Yah part is from the Yahweh, and the Shua has to do with salvation. God is salvation. God is a Savior. Okay? That's what Jesus' name means. Okay? And it says it right here. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. This is Gabriel still talking to Mary. And will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So this is saying some other things. He's going to be a king. This boy's going to be a king. Now, it didn't happen then. It happens later when he comes back the second time, right? And he's going to rule over Israel, and he will be a king forever. Forever. Long, long time. There may have been one other thing. I don't know if I want to say it now. No. Okay. Let's keep going here. I'm sorry, I can't read as well as I should be able to. All right, what is that? That's a manger. What's another? What would we call it? If you saw one of these in a field or in a barn, what would you call it? No farmers here? What would you call it? Feeding trough, watering trough. All right, you can put water in there. Or you put food in there. That's for feeding the animals. This one looks like it's carved out of rock. It could be carved out of rock. Didn't mean to do that yet. Could be carved out of rock, or sometimes they made them out of clay and straw, like brick. Now, we also talked last time about the house that they lived in. Now, how big was the normal house? Remember, we talked about that. How big was the typical house? About 15 feet square, which is smaller than this area right up here, isn't it? Remember? Very small. Very, very small compared to most of our houses. Maybe all of our houses. And what parts do we have? We've got the upstairs. Oops, I keep pressing the wrong button. We've got the upstairs where people lived. Right? You got your water, I guess water there, or maybe a pan for going to the bathroom. I don't know what that is. You got a loom here for making some making cloth. You've got your, what is that? What is that? Like a roll to roll it out like a sleeping bag or something to sleep on so you don't have to sleep right on the floor. What's this? All right, they got their own little side there. You can put a curtain, and if they visit, you got a place for them. It's we'll talk about what that is a little later. That's a separate. It's not really a separate room, but you get a. What is it like? You go in the hospital. What do they call it? You go in the hospital, and you don't have your own room. They got this curtain they pull between you and the person next to you. You ever see that? A semi-private room, right? You know, it's not really private, but you got a curtain. Who gets to live downstairs? The animals. They don't live there. They're out doing their work during the day, whatever they have to do. But at nighttime, you brought them in. Why would you bring them in? Why? Go, Nathan. Somebody could steal them. That's a good reason. You got them right in there, close to you? Yes. Oh, a wild animal. Yeah, like a lion or something like that could get your goat or your sheep. Yes, Leah.
They could get too cold.
They could get cold. They could run outside. They could just run away. And you wouldn't be awake. You wouldn't know. What does it do for you when you bring them in? Maybe it's wintertime and it's cold in the house. That's just like having a furnace down there, isn't it? Because they're breathing. They're breathing and they're making heat. So it warms it up a little bit. Okay, so they're downstairs. Now, if you have one of these to feed your animals, this picture doesn't have one of those, does it? Where do you think we should put it? Up here? Down here. All right. Let's put it down here. All right. There we go. Now that donkey or horse or whatever it is has a place it can get some water, get some food. Downstairs. That's where it belongs. The feeding trough is down where the animals are. This picture didn't have one, but we got one. So that's the what people call a manger, is that feeding trough. And that's where it would go. Now, remember last time I showed you this picture? This is a picture from probably 100, 150 years ago of a village somewhere near over near Israel. And we talked about the different houses there. And here's a house that has a door that you walk in. But it's also got a window here, right? And it has a little tiny window there. You can barely see it. So, and that's a little house. Now, what I did is this week I made that picture bigger, right? So let's look at that house right there. Here's that door, right? There's a little tiny window over the door, right? I don't know, right there maybe. And then you got a window. Now, why is the window so much higher than the door?
More sunlight,
maybe. I mean, it probably works that way. Can you think of another reason why it might be up there?
It has an upstairs and a downstairs.
Now, I don't know. In this picture, I can't go inside that room and see if it has an upstairs and a downstairs. But given what I know about houses and the way they were built then, I think that this door, you walk in and you've got to go up that ladder or up some kind of stair to get up to the second floor. So they had beams. They had joists, I should say, going across to make a floor here. And you could be underneath. The animals could go in that door at night, and you had to go in that door and go up a ladder and get up to the second floor, your main living area. That's what I think. I can't prove this particular one. I can't get into that picture and tell, but this is a picture. This is not an original house. This is one that was reconstructed to look like the old houses. This is somewhere in Palestine. I don't know where. And it shows a typical house from long, long time ago in that area of the world. So what do you have? What do you got down here? A door. But this is a rich house. These people must have some money because they got a door upstairs too. They can go upstairs on the outside. Whereas most houses, you had to go in there first and then go up. Now this one, maybe they had a little more money, whoever had this house. But it's still got the downstairs where the animals go in. It's got the upstairs with a window and maybe another little window over here. The downstairs in this one even has another window. Got your water pots, you got to go get your water, right? So that's a typical house. It's got a second floor, it's got a first floor. The animals can walk right in the first floor, and that's where they would be in the evening. Like I said, this is a little bit fancier than a typical house. It wouldn't all be this nice. All right, let's go back to the story. The angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a baby." Angel also told him that her relative Elizabeth was having a baby. In fact, she was already 6 months pregnant. She had a little bit of a belly, right? And she's going to have a baby. Elizabeth was very old. And now says that Mary went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth there. Now, I'll just throw this out. You all can figure it out for yourself. But how is it that Elizabeth was Mary's relative? I don't really know the answer to this. Zacharias, it says, was a priest. And he was married to a daughter of priests. All he had to do was marry a Levite. But he was married to a daughter of priests. So, Elizabeth and Zacharias were both Levites, right? What tribe was Mary from? She was from Judah. So somewhere along the line, there was a connection. There was, maybe some great grandfather or something like that. But they were from different tribes, at least basically. But must have been some intermarriage in there somewhere. So Mary went to the hill country, to a city of Judah. Now let's look at a map. Here we got the map to see where Mary lived and where she had to go. Can anybody see Nazareth? Where do you think Nazareth is? It's in Galilee, right? It's right there. Near Sepphoris, the other place we were talking about. All right, if you lived in Nazareth and you had to come down to the hill country, well, we don't know exactly what they mean by the hill country. But the markings here? That shows the hills. And out here, it's flat. Out here, you're near the Mediterranean, right? This is where the Philistines were in the time of David. They had the coast. But the hill country around Jerusalem was here. And most likely, when they talk about the hill country of Judea, it's probably talking about north of Jerusalem. Here's Jerusalem down here. North up here in the area where the tribe of Ephraim had settled. So she probably had to come from here all the way down to here. But you didn't just do this, because that was a very steep ridge there. That's overlooking, this is the Valley of Armageddon, for anybody who cares. And that's a steep cliff. So if you were coming down from there, you probably went up this way first. You went up north and then came down the main road. Now, what if you are real pious, that means a real religious Jew, and you lived at the time of Jesus, and you lived maybe here in Nazareth or up here in Capernaum, and you wanted to go to Jerusalem? You had to go through Samaria, right? It's in between. But if you were a real religious and righteous Jew, you didn't like the Samaritans. Now, this wasn't God's rule. This is just the way the Jews were at that time in this area. They didn't like the Samaritans. So you know what they would do? They'd come down here and they'd follow this green path, go over here down by the Jordan, and then come back up. And it took another 2 days to get down there because you had to do all that walking. We don't know which way Mary went. Mary might have come up and gone down this way because she might have been from a very religious family that thought that was the right thing to do so that she didn't have to go through Samaria. But Jesus went through Samaria. He talked to the Samaritan woman at the well, remember? So he didn't have a problem with that. But at least one time he did go around the long way, because that's when you would go through Jericho before you came up to Jerusalem. So Mary either went this way or she went this way. But in any event, it's probably about 60 miles. How long do you think it would take to walk 60 miles? What do you think? A couple of days at least. Maybe you could walk. How many miles can you walk in a day if you walk all day? I got my own idea here. I want to see what anybody else says. How about? 24 or something. What do you think?
10?
At least 10. Probably more like 20. He walks 20 miles a day on a treadmill?
No.
Oh, he just walks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can walk. If you walk about 3 miles an hour, which is what we normally walk, and if you walk for 8 hours, you go 24 miles. So to go all the way from here to here, the straight way, would still take about 3 days, like Leah says, a couple 3 days anyway. And if she went the long way, it would take even longer to get down there. Now, if she was coming up to here, she probably, I would think she went this way, but I don't know. She was very young. Did anybody go with her? We just don't know. Was there a relative? Did she get on a caravan? We don't know. But if she would have come all the way down to Jericho and then come up to Jerusalem, then she would have had to go back toward home a little bit this way to get up into the hill country here. But we just don't know. We don't have the details. But the point is, she was visiting Elizabeth. Now, why would she want to visit Elizabeth, do you think? Now, here's where we don't have a lot of detail. But what do you think? And maybe this is more for the adults. Why? Elizabeth is kind of like a distant cousin, maybe. We don't know. But Elizabeth is an old woman. She's like grandmother age. And she has no children. And now she's going to have a baby. That baby's going to be John the Baptist, you mentioned. Why would Mary want, the angels told her, look, your relative Elizabeth is having a baby. She's 6 months along. Why would Mary want to go down there, you think? Just think about it. Anybody got some ideas? There's no right or wrong here. I think Elizabeth probably knew she was 6 months pregnant. But maybe she wanted to tell her that she was going to be pregnant. Yeah. Why else would maybe Mary want to get out of town? What'd you say? Could have been ashamed. Because, or at least if she wasn't ashamed, people were going to try to shame her. Because they're not going to necessarily believe Gabriel. So, yeah, sure. An angel talked to you, Mary. We know. Right? Yes, you had something else?
No.
Okay. What? Go ahead. You got to give Elizabeth a baby shower. Okay. Elizabeth waited a long time for that baby shower. She's very old. That's a good answer. Right? Another reason possible. We don't know. But what was the punishment? What was Mary's potential punishment? What? John 8, right? John 8. All these people dragged this woman to Jesus and said, what was the law? What's the law say? Stone her. Mary might have thought it was just be a good time to leave. And talk to her older relative and get some comfort, get some advice. I don't know. We're reading into it here, but it says she hurried. That's what it says. It says she hurried to the hill country. She was getting out of Dodge for whatever reason. And she was going to the hill country. And the scriptures say that she was there for about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now, what happened after 3 months? Elizabeth had her baby. So she stayed with her, I don't know, till the baby was born, helped out, left right before. We don't know. Doesn't say. But she stayed about till the time that Elizabeth had John the Baptist. And at that time, Mary was about 3 months pregnant.
That's another reason she could have gone down there to help her with the baby.
Okay, go down to help her get the baby out, right? That's a good, but she didn't have to go there 3 months early, but okay. That's a good point. Then she went back home, all the way back up to Galilee, right? Now we have an issue, though. If you were one of the people that went into the temple and studied the law and all, it said that the Messiah was going to be born where? Bethlehem. Where's Bethlehem? Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. It's down here. It's even further away from Nazareth than Jerusalem is. So if the Messiah, which means Christ, Christ is a Greek for Messiah, right? If the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem and Mom is in Nazareth, we got a problem, don't we? But we'll see what happens. Anybody know how did they get? Why did they go down there? Anybody know? Probably for the feast. It doesn't say that, but it was around that time. But they would go down there for the feast when they went. Okay, here's what we read in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. This is supposed to be a statue of Caesar Augustus. That a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Why did they take census in Rome? Why did Rome care how many people were in Judea? Or why did they care? Why did they want to know how many people were there? Huh? Tax purposes. Yeah, well, that's the end. They want the money. You got to pay up. We're not going to fight you, but you're going to pay us, right? You got to pay taxes. So there was a census of all the, you know, the Roman world. It was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, I'm not going to go into it, but that's a problem because Josephus, I believe it is, his record of when Quirinius' census was is different. So either there's more than one census or more than one census that Quirinius was involved in. Don't know. But Luke had put this report together, and he says it's Quirinius wasn't governor of Syria yet while Herod was still alive. So that's why we don't know exactly how this all fleshes out. It says everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Ah. Well, what was Joseph's city? He lived in Nazareth, right? But it says Joseph went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the family of David, in order to register with Mary, who was engaged to him as was with child. So what was the rule? The rule was, when we do the census, you got to go to your home city, where your people are from. Okay? So your people might not be from where you live now. You live where your relatives live, right? Your grandmothers, grandma, they all live around there. So you wouldn't have to go anywhere, right? But you would. You didn't. Your family wasn't all. Some of your family was from there. Some of your family, if you had to go where your father's family's from, you wouldn't be able to stay. If they had a census like that here, you'd have to go down to Virginia to be counted for the census, because you'd have to go to where your dad's from. That's just the way it was then. I don't know why, but that's what they did. We can't see if you do that, Andrew. Don't you want to see Augustus? Isn't he a good-looking guy? He was Julius Caesar's adopted son. His name was Octavian. And you know what he said about Herod? Anybody know what he said about Herod? I bet you Jim does. Remember what Augustus said about Herod? I don't know if he was ever, how much they were friends, but Julius Caesar is. Oh. He said, the story is that he said that it was better to be one of Herod's pigs than one of his sons. Why would that be? Herod wasn't very good to his sons. That's why. Herod pretending to be a Jew, though he really wasn't going to kill a pig because you don't eat him. But he did kill his own sons. Herod wasn't really Jewish. He just pretended to be. Okay, so this is how we're going to get Mary to Bethlehem in order that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Is they had to go down for the census. The city of David. I don't know where I have the note to say this, but why does Jesus have to be born at all? Because he has to die. But why couldn't God just make him like he made Adam? Why couldn't we just make Jesus, like, appear? Jesus just all of a sudden appears out of nowhere. Boom. Wouldn't that be all right? Still could be a man. What would be the problem with that? Older people? What would be the problem with just Jesus showing up? Okay. That's one prophecy. Other ones. Okay, to be born as a baby. Anything else? Had the proper lineage, which is? Judah. Had to be from Judah. Okay. Yes. He had to be a perfect sacrifice. He, not only did he have to be from Judah, it was promised that he would be a son of Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob, and also a descendant of who else? Prophesied. Huh? David. David. Had to be a descendant of David. Family of David. Okay, so all that was fulfilled by him being born of Mary. And so it's a fulfilled prophecy, as Catherine says. All right, this is just for a little extra information about all the Roman emperors when during the New Testament. You had Augustus. He was the first one after his father, Julius Caesar. And he organized things in the empire so that there weren't, you know, it wasn't all that violent, and it was peaceful. They had rules and laws, and it was very stable. And that was good for the beginning of the church, all right, for Jesus' life and the beginning for the apostles of the church. So it was good that Augustus came along and the empire had peace. Tiberius was the emperor while Jesus was having his ministry. When he died, Caligula, Claudius. Claudius was the one to kick the Jews out of Rome. It says in the book of Acts that some of the disciples were in a different city because they'd been kicked out of Rome by Claudius. Nero was the emperor that Paul appealed to, because Nero in his early career was seen as a fair person, but he got crazy in his old age and persecuted the Christians, as did, I believe, Domitian was a big persecution under him. I'm not sure of that. Titus, he was the general that led the armies against Jerusalem, and he became emperor after that. Jerusalem was conquered while Vespasian was the emperor. So here's the first century emperors, but Augustus is the first one. It went from being the Roman Republic to being an empire. Basically, that transition happened through Julius Caesar, and then Augustus is the beginning of the first century there. All right, so they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So you see that? That town is Bethlehem now. It's not Bethlehem then. That's Bethlehem now, or recently. Bethlehem is a huge city, but it wasn't a huge city when Jesus was on the earth at all. It wasn't a huge city. Make sure I don't have any notes here. This was Bethlehem, as I said, was about 90 miles, maybe 120 miles if they took the long way. So how long would it take from Nazareth to get to? They came down for the feast to Jerusalem, and maybe they went all the way to Bethlehem to stay in Bethlehem. How long would it take? It'd take more than a week, 5 days at least if they went the straight way. What if it took 6 days? What if it took 7 days? Could it take 7 days? Anybody? Could it take 7 days? Got you thinking now. John says no. Why not? They wouldn't travel on the Sabbath. If it took more than six, it would take eight. Okay? They're not going to travel on the Sabbath. So it took anywhere from 5 to 8 days to get there. Long trip to go to the feast. Somebody like Mary might not have had to go. She was quite pregnant by this time. That's somebody's sketch of what Bethlehem may have looked like a long time ago. What you notice about this picture? What do you notice about Bethlehem? Yes. There's a cross. So it wasn't. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't there at that time. Very good point. Right? See that? That wouldn't have been there. I guess it's more of an idea of how small it would have been. What do you notice other than a cross? That's very observant. Good. I probably didn't even see that because the picture was too little on my computer. What else about Bethlehem do you notice? It's on a hill. It's on a hill. What does Bethlehem mean? We don't have Mike here. He would give us this answer right off. Catherine. House of bread. Why is it called house of bread? Could be all kinds of reasons, maybe. But they grew a lot of wheat there. What else did they have in Bethlehem besides bread? They had a lot of things. But
I see a person.
You see a person. They had people. Yep. They also had a lot of sheep because it was they had to have lots of lambs for Passover in Jerusalem. Like lots and lots and lots of lambs. And they one of the areas where they grew were the hills around Bethlehem. Grew them. They raised them. Okay. In the hills around Bethlehem. So Bethlehem's up on a hill. There are a lot of shepherds raising sheep. There's a lot of farmers growing wheat. And it's basically an agricultural area. It's not a huge city at all. It's an agricultural area that's about, 5 miles, I believe, somewhere around 5 miles from Jerusalem. These days it would be a suburb of Jerusalem. While they were there, they went down for the census. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Mary's ready to have the baby. Now, sometimes you get this story, and that's why I'm doing this around Christmas time, because you see the anybody seen a nativity scene? You know, the little scenes where they show Jesus and the shepherds and the magi all at the same time? Well, that's not really accurate. So there are things that are not accurate. That's why I want to do this now. And one of the things is that they got there late, they're in a hurry, and there's no room, and they, it says while they were there. they had been there for a while, staying with relatives. And then it's time for her to have the baby.
So he wasn't born when they're saying he was born close to the feast.
He's probably born in the fall, close to the feast. There's ways we can figure that out, but I don't have time to do that today. But yes, it was because one of the, well, we'll get to that later. We'll talk about one of them a little later. So she's ready to have her baby. Now, what are you going to do if you're in Bethlehem and it's time to have your baby? You go to Holy Spirit Hospital right down the road? No, they didn't have a hospital like that, did they? So what did you do? Had to get the baby out, Leah. Where did they go? What did they do? Maybe they had a, what do they call the woman that helps out? Midwife. Maybe they had a midwife come to the house? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't have a hospital. They had what? Oh, okay. Go to the tent. All right. It says she gave birth, so she had the baby to her firstborn son. What does that mean? She had at least some other kids. And later on in the Gospels, it talks about Jesus' brothers and sisters. Some people believe he didn't have any brothers and sisters, but he did. Gave her. This was her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Well, we have to talk about some things here. First of all, wrapped him in cloths. It's not like what we do now. We just put a little stuff, you know, hold them. They actually wrapped them like this, like a mummy, because they thought that their arm, it would keep their arm straight. I don't know how long they did that, maybe just a few days. But they're afraid that being just born, and you know how, if you ever look at a newborn, it looks like their arms are kind of like this, and you know, looks like you could bend them any which way. They would just wrap them up like this so that nothing would bend, so that their arms would get hard and their legs would get hard in the right direction. The bones would be nice and hard. So when they wrap, when he talks about wrapping him, it doesn't mean they just put a little blanket around him like we do. They actually wrapped him pretty tight. Okay, that's what that was just their custom. And apparently, it's been done sometime in my lifetime in parts of the world. I don't know if it's now or not. Laid him in a manger, which is a feeding trough. They laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room at the inn. Now, here's the question: what kind of an inn did they have in Bethlehem? What does that mean? You think maybe there was no room at the Holiday Inn? Down there off of the one where we have holy days sometimes? Is that what it means? No, it doesn't mean that. And here's why. That word for inn, if I look back here, this word right here, in the Greek is katalimia. I didn't write it down. Wait a minute. I think I wrote it down. Got to find it here. Yeah, katalimia. Or katalimia. All right, that's that word is used in the Bible three times. Once here, and two other times when it's talking about Jesus finding a place to keep Passover with his disciples right before he died. And there, if you read it, it says, "Say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Do you have a guest room? It's not talking about an inn like a hotel. They didn't have inns like that back then. They did have little things. It's a different word. It's a different Greek word. Where they had just basically a fence or a wall on the side of the road where you could sleep at night and the animals couldn't get in. It would protect you from that. But they didn't have inns in the same sense. Okay? This means guest room. So where's the guest room? Right there. Why wasn't there any room in the guest room? There were other people. Maybe because it was feast time or census time or both. And the whole family was there. So it says there's no room at the inn. I can think maybe there might be some other reasons. Why would you put Mary in the lower level? What other reasons can you think of? All right, maybe there's some other family, the, you know, grandma's up here or great-grandma. And we're not going to put her down with the animals because she's old and we respect her and we're not going to put her down there. But can you think of some other reasons why maybe you put Mary down here? Any?
Younger.
I think that could be a reason. I didn't have that as one of mine. Any others? Why? What could be a possible purpose? Yes? Now, that's spoken like a woman. I didn't even think of that. That's a good one. Yeah. You don't have to go up the stairs. That's brilliant. I didn't even think of that. Put her downstairs because it's easier to get to. Kim, any other reasons why downstairs might be preferable? It says that Joseph took her to be his wife. They didn't wait the whole year. I can see you could put her down there by herself. Yeah. Could be warmer. Like, hey, if you're gonna have a baby, at least have the heat on. That's it. Could be. Yeah. Privacy. Okay, that's, yeah. Yeah, I said maybe more privacy, maybe warmer. I also put maybe not wanted upstairs. Maybe some of the family still wasn't all that comfortable with the fact that she was 9 months pregnant and they didn't get married till whenever. You know, it's like this isn't right. It could have been a little bit of that going on. We don't know. But we do know it says there's no room upstairs. And that's okay. And sometimes you say that thing, but there could be other reasons too. So we don't know what's going on, but there's can be lots of good reasons, including, maybe it's just hard to get upstairs at 9 months. That's good reason. So Jesus, when he was born, they put him right in there. They put some blankets in there first, right? They put something, some straw, made it comfortable. Any other reasons why? That's great. Thank you. All right. It also says in the same area, there were some shepherds who were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Is this a good picture for that? What do you think?
No, I think
the guy's too small. You'd think the shepherds were probably older than that. What else is wrong with it?
It's
not night. It's daytime. Yeah, that's not a nighttime picture. And yeah, I'm sure the shepherds were older than that. Remember, we talked about shepherds, right? They usually didn't own their own flocks. They were just working for somebody else. They were not considered to be honest people. Everybody just assumed that shepherds stole from their employers. They stole sheep. In fact, it was a law, Mike would know this, there was a law that you couldn't buy sheep or goats from a shepherd who worked for somebody else. It could be legitimate, but it's just a law, you couldn't do it. Because they just assumed that they wouldn't be stolen if you did it. So the shepherd probably looked a little bit more like that, probably a little bit older. The picture's pixelated, isn't it? Kind of big. And they were up in the hills of Bethlehem. It's still not nighttime, sorry. A nighttime picture probably wouldn't work too well, though. Angel of the Lord stood suddenly. So here, there's more than one shepherd. There's a bunch of them out there. And all of a sudden, there's an angel, probably Gabriel again. And he stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. Why do you think they were frightened, by the way? Never saw an angel before. They're out here, I think they're dreaming, Whoa, wait, I'm awake. Glory of the Lord. Yeah, probably got bright like daytime. They were afraid. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, what's the city of David? Bethlehem. That's where his family was from. From the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger or feeding trough. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, that means more angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. In the King James it says, goodwill toward men. That's probably not how it should be translated. It means peace among men with whom he is pleased is probably a better translation. So all these angels and all those people, the angels are glorifying God. The shepherds are afraid. The shepherds are looked down on. Nobody likes them anyway. They think they're thieves. They think they're crooked. And these angels appear to them. And they probably a little bit afraid they're crazy. So what do they say? When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, we better go into Bethlehem and check this out. See this thing that's happened, that the Lord's made known to us. So they came in a hurry, found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay there. So they went right down to Bethlehem to check it out. And they found Jesus lying in something like this. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. So the shepherds became the first people to spread what's called what? To spread the gospel of Jesus. The shepherds, the ones that everybody thought were losers, God picked them. So you will be the ones to tell everybody. And all who heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. Probably wondered if they could believe it, first of all. But Mary treasured all these things. She held them in her heart. She thought about it. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What a glorious thing. Jesus was born in poor circumstances, as somebody mentioned, poor. And he was an outcast, in a way, to save the poor in spirit, right? And the humble. And the shepherds, who were not even considered accountable and believable witnesses, were chosen to be the first witnesses of the birth of the Messiah and to tell others. It's kind of amazing just the way God turns the tables, from what you'd expect. In fact, the whole Old Testament is full of that. When you think about it, you read through, the firstborn doesn't get the birthright, the next born, God does things that He wants to do in His time and in His way. And it's not always the way we would pick. And it's certainly true with this. So there's a lot more I could have talked about. There's the story about John the Baptist and Zacharias in the temple, and there's the story of the things that happen after this. Notice we didn't talk about any wise men, right? Why? Were there wise men? Magi? There were. When did they come? Much later. Maybe a year later. They weren't there when he was in that house. This was after he got home. They came. And we'll talk about that sometime. Maybe I'll talk about more of the story, but that's all we have time for today. But there are no Magi here at the beginning. That happened much later. And we could talk about the things that happened. I think actually Mike talked about Jesus being presented in the temple for 8 days for circumcision, all those things that happened. But there's a lot more to the story. But I wanted to share this with you to show you that Jesus wasn't born out in a barn somewhere, and he wasn't born out in a field with this wooden shack like you see. He was born in somebody's house. That's the way it reads anyway. He was born not in the guest room, but down in the basement where the animals were. And there were people around, and loving family was around. And the shepherds, interestingly enough, were the first people to be told about it, and they showed up just as soon as they heard. Yes?
I have one question.
Yes?
Now, you said that was in the basement with the animals.
I'm calling it a basement because that's what we call it, but yeah. Was it full of water?
And if it was, what would they do?
Well, it wouldn't be full of water because if you saw it, let's go back and look at the picture. Well, let's look at a picture of a real one. There's a difference between this basement and some of our basements. And let's see what's the difference. Well, you can't tell from this picture, but you didn't have to go down any stairs to get to it. It's right at, so if there's water in there, it just comes out. So they didn't build a house like we build a house up here in the north in the north part of the United States, where we dig a hole first and then we put the house over top of the hole. They used a cave that was already there, and that cave was usually at the street level, and then they built over top of that. And we could probably look at one of these other pictures, see the same thing. See, the street level, the door is down at street level. They didn't go down some stairs into the base. That would have been very hard to dig that. Not that they couldn't. If you were Herod and you were building a palace, you could probably afford that because you could get all the slave laborers to do all that work for you. But if you're a regular person, you didn't have the money to pay all the people it would take to dig through the rock and dig a basement. In fact, even in America, you didn't build houses with basements like we do now, not for many years, because it was hard. It was just, you had to have, how you used to do it? You have cows or an oxen or whatever, and a scoop thing, and it would scoop the dirt. Well, if it's rocks, you don't do it. You can't do it. If you have dirt, maybe you can dig a little basement, and they would typically just dig a few feet. They wouldn't dig down tall enough to walk in anyway. So basements are kind of a new invention. They certainly didn't have them back then. I'm calling it a basement, but it's really not. It's just the first floor. The first floor is at street level. It's not down in a hole. That's a good question. Okay, any other comments or questions? Yes. Oh, I wondered. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I can only assume that there's probably a pecking order. They're probably, half a dozen guys out there with 1,000 sheep, and one guy had to stay. whoever was the new guy, he had to stay. He couldn't go. I wondered the same thing. I'm sure they didn't take them all into town. Oh, because they had a place that could keep them at night. Yeah, and when I talked about that, I had some pictures of some, not from that part of the world, but from Europe, and they did. They have these things. So maybe, yeah, they could have left them if they had a place to put them. If they didn't, you know, I'm sure somebody gets stuck with it, you know, if they needed to. Any other comments? Okay, thank you. Go back to your seats then.